What do you need to hear a sermon on today? What do you need to hear? I mean, anybody need to hear a sermon on your marriage? Anybody need your husband to hear a good word? Anybody need a sermon on how to raise my kids? Anybody need that? Anybody need a sermon on how to get your body healed, how to get restoration? Anybody need a sermon on how to get a raise at work, how to get a raise, how to get more money? I need more, pastor. I need more money. So, you know, I need money. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, money answers to everything. It's true. It's in there. You go look it up for homework. Money. I need a sermon on just relationships, pastor. I need to help my relationships. I need a sermon on anger. Pastor, I'm angry. I need to deal with my anger. This sermon covers everything. Covers whatever you need. You got it. Whatever you need, this actually covers it all. Amen. So you pay attention, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because whatever you need, he's going to download on you in Jesus' name. I mean, you need good advice, you could watch Oprah, you know. But I'm going to download to you the very full manifestation of the third person of the Godhead filling you on the inside. I'm going to give you wisdom from above, and it's not something you can write in a notebook and try to do. It's a person who's going to come and take up residence in your life, and he's going to guide you and direct you. He's going to direct you how to speak to your wife, how to speak to your children, how to pray about things, how to call the supernatural into your life. You know, it's not a study. It's not some guide that you got to check 20 boxes in. It's the person of the Holy Ghost, and he's here to transform every aspect of your life. It's a one-step program. It's get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Be led by the Spirit of God. Listen to the voice of God in everything you do, and you will prosper and you will be blessed, and everything you do will be saturated with the wisdom and the favor of God. Quit doing it yourself. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to find the 20 ways to the 32 things to the 18 problems. Just say, Spirit of God, I'm going to lean into you every moment of my life. I trust you to lead me, to guide me, to direct me, because you are so advantaged. You are so advantaged because the one who created all things, your body is designed to contain the fullness of the Godhead. You are designed, this little meat sack right here, it was designed to carry the fullness of the Godhead. I'm not looking for wisdom. I'm not seeking new truth. I am packing the very fullness of the Godhead and all that he is. It's right here. You're not lacking a single thing. You are blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. For weeks, we've been talking about listening. We've been talking about hearing. We've been talking about the fact that if you're going to speak on God's behalf, then you better be hearing his voice. If you're going to say, thus saith the Lord, you better know what the Lord is saying. So if we're going to declare this is what the Lord is saying to you, we got to be sure that we are accurately hearing his voice. So we've been talking about hearing from God, if you've been paying attention, for about 4 or 5 weeks now. Chuck talked about it. Pastor James talked about it. I've talked about it. And we're going to talk about it again today, because hearing, there's two types of people in the world. There's the hearers and the hear-nots. And that's it. There's people who hear and people who don't hear. And you need to realize that God is speaking. It's not a matter of will God speak. He has chosen to speak, and he will make his glorious voice to be heard. Anything you need in any circumstance in life, any wisdom you need for any situation you find yourself in, God is ready to reveal himself. And what I love about the book of James, it says he will give you wisdom without finding fault, which means that he's not reluctant. He's not saying, you know what? I would tell you what to do in this situation, but I don't like you. You're this and you're that and you're the other thing. God is not trying to find reasons not to pour wisdom on you. He will give it to you, wisdom from above. He'll give it to you abundantly without finding fault. That is a really good word right there. If you need wisdom, the only thing that's missing is you gotta ask. I could use some help in this situation. I'm glad you asked. I've got wisdom from above, a word from God that has power to transform your situation. Amen. I like that. Glenn Gordon's got those slow rolling amens. Amen. Amen. Catherine Kuhlman said, Christians today operate very little in the Holy Spirit because of their ignorance concerning the Holy Spirit himself. That was Catherine Kuhlman. I met Catherine Kuhlman when I was 9 years old. My dad brought her to Peterborough and he ran a crusade and they filled the Memorial Center with like 5,000 or 6,000 people every night. And everybody walked out of there. Wheelchairs were emptied, crutches thrown away, cancers dropping out of bodies at 9 years old. It's too late. I've seen what God can do and it's too late. I'm telling you. And you know what? He doesn't just do it for Catherine Kuhlman. But Catherine Kuhlman, she was just a revivalist. She was just doing, everybody can do this stuff, but she was bold and went out there and just declared the Holy Spirit wants to heal you, touch you, deliver you. And I thank God for that meeting. It changed my life forever. People in our church were radically transformed, healed, delivered. I mean, sickness left the building. So good. But she said, man, the problem is that God's not there. It's just people have so little revelation and so little understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say, Holy Spirit, I love you. Thank you that you're with me every day. Amen. A.W. Tozer, he said, we need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than our most secret thoughts. Always, everywhere, God is present, and he always seeks to discover himself to each one of us. God is knocking on the door of your heart every day. God wants to participate in your life every single moment. God is interested in your marriage. He's interested in your kids. He's interested in your garage door opener. He's interested in the whole thing. You are so advantaged. It's unbelievable. That's why we praise him, because his favor is incredible. Hallelujah. But he's not distant. He's not far off. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing. The Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. God has to partner with us. God cannot do a thing here on earth without speaking through somebody just like you, somebody just like me. God has chosen that he's going to work with us. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. The Lord's speaking. He's still speaking. Prophets came through the filter of the cross. There's still prophets today. In fact, every one of you are a prophet. God's will is that all his people would be prophets. The Apostle Paul said, you can all prophesy. Say all. That means you. You can prophesy. You can speak divine utterances to your world. You can declare God's will to be manifest in your life. You can speak the circumstances that are in front of you. You can command mountains to rise up and be tossed into the sea because you are a prophet and you can speak the things of God to things that should not be there. And God's word is powerful. God's word on your mouth is the same as God's word on his mouth. That's what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke said, when you speak the word of the Lord, it's exactly the same as God himself speaking. So when you know, and we got revelation about what God's will is, when we declare God's will in any circumstance or situation, we know that God watches over his word to perform it. Prophecy. What is prophecy, Pastor? It's to speak forth by divine inspiration. Speak forth by divine inspiration. You have a prophetic anointing on your life. You can prophesy over yourself. You can prophesy God's word over your circumstances. Got a little picture here of a police officer right there. It's right there. There it is. It's police officer. And I was watching just a simple show on TV. They were interviewing a policeman, and the interviewer said, "Hey, let me ask you this. What would be the most important tool? What's the most important instrument that you have that you would, I will not leave without this. I mean, I gotta have it. Gotta have this with you at all times. What is the most important thing?" You know what he said? He said, "My radio. My radio." He says, "I will not go anywhere without my radio." He said, "Because when I have my radio, I'm hooked up to the head office. I'm hooked up to the department. When I'm on the radio, no matter what's going on, I can hear from them and they can hear from me. And wherever I am, whatever circumstance I am, I've got all their support, all their power, and all their ability to operate on my behalf. And with my radio, I feel safe and secure because I can communicate with headquarters, and in every circumstance, I am backed up in every single way. And I know that I am safe and I'm powerful because I got my radio." The most important thing you have is your ability to communicate with God and his ability to speak to you. That's the most important thing about you, is that you get eyes to see and ears to hear. The most important thing about you is you're hooked up to the heavenly realms. Every moment of your life, you're hooked up to heaven. Every moment. In everything you do, he's there. In everything you do, you operate out of the wisdom of God, the majesty of God, the power of God, and the resources of heaven itself. You walk into every situation so powerful and so advanced, it's amazing. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are, Luke 8:18. So pay attention to how you hear. Pay attention to how you hear. That's Jesus saying, pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand, it will be taken from them. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Is your heart attuned to heaven? Are you there? There's frequencies going right through this room. You could tune into just about anything. There are frequencies. It's incredible how that even works. But you can tune into stuff. But you know what? There is a frequency of heaven right now. There is the voice of God. And you, as a child of God, you are tuned in. He is tuned into you. And you are tuned into him. You know the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Mark 4, he talked about the seed and the sower. And in Mark 4, it says, if you don't understand this parable, one translation says, how can you understand anything? Anything. That whole parable, Jesus is saying this parable is about hearing and your ability to hear and your quality of hearing. So be careful how you hear. He said to them, be careful how you hear, what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will given to you who hear. Are you hearing? Are you paying attention? Are you hearing? Are you tuned in to the voice of God? John 8:47 says, whosoever is of God listens. If you are of God, you listen to God. Is anybody of God here today? You listen to God. It is built into you to hear God, to listen to God. Eyes to see, ears to hear in the heavenly realm. They're a gift from God himself. You can see what he's doing. You can hear what he's doing. You operate in a completely different realm. Isn't that awesome? Please settle down. It's awesome. Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. 1 Kings 3:9, give me an understanding heart that I may govern your people. Now that was Solomon. His dad was a mighty warrior, extended the boundaries of the nation of Israel. And God said, well, you're a bloody man of war, so get everything prepared. And he says, but I'm going to build the temple. I'm going to build it through your son. Now Solomon became the king. And after his dad left, he was like, man, God, I need your help. And the Lord's like, what do you need? What would you like? What can I give you to help you be successful? Here's what he said. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people. Give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people. The word understanding is shama. The word heart is lev. What he's saying is, give me a heart that can hear and be attentive to you. Give me a heart that is tuned in to you. Give me a heart that leans into you. Give me a heart. I want to govern, but I want to govern out of your voice. I want to govern out of your realm. I want to govern according to your mind, your heart, and your will. Give me a heart, Father, that hears attentively and follows hard after you. That's what Solomon asked for. Thomas Merton, he said, true contemplation is not a psychological trick. It is a theological grace. I enjoyed the fact that we took some time today I enjoyed the fact that we had a bit of a pause even in the service. And I enjoy that we don't get nervous when it's quiet. I'm saddened if we get nervous when it's quiet, because that's a really good time to take your foot off the talk or your hand off the talk button and listen. It's a really good time because he's here. And it's a really good time to hear his voice. And whatever you're anxious about or whatever you're thinking or wherever your concerns are, when you take your hand off the button and let him speak, he is pouring things into your heart. You got to take time to listen. It's a theological grace. F.W. Faber said, only to sit and think of God, oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth has no greater bliss. Sometimes we don't hear because we never have any quiet moments in our life. We never have any times of contemplation built into our day. Hopefully, you've actually built a place. You've set apart a time. You've got a habitual practice where you take time to say, Lord, speak to my heart. And you need to do that. You need to give him time to speak to you. Contemplation, waiting on the Lord. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. It's not just inactivity, but it's getting bound up with God. It's entrenching yourself in God. The wait means to entrench yourself. To entrench yourself in God. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Isaiah 64:4, for since the world began, no ear has heard or eye has seen a God like you who works for those who... He works for those who wait for him. Wait for him. Wait for him. We're very, very fleshly. We take things in our own hands all the time. But if we would wait for him, if we would trust him. Global Digital Attention Research Institute. The Global Digital Attention Research Institute. You got an institute for everything. This is the Global Digital Attention Research Institute, tracking over 112,000 people over 34 countries in 2026. That would be this year. So this is very current. The average human attention span has dipped to just 8.25 seconds. Most of you have left this sermon a long time ago. Like, you're coming and going, coming and going. I hear him, I don't hear him. I hear him, I don't hear him anymore. I hear him. Oh, what's he saying? I hear him, I don't hear him anymore. 8.25. I hear him. What are you saying? 8.25 seconds, highlighting how easily it is for people to get distracted in this digital age. The number is often compared to the attention span of a goldfish, which is said to be about 9 seconds. I'm going to replace you all with goldfish next week. They give me 0.75 more attention than you. Are you picking on me, Pastor? No, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on the person sleeping beside you. Say, wake up. It's tough. It's noisy out there. It's noisy. You cannot follow a voice you have not learned to recognize. A generation that loses its ability to hear God will eventually lose its sense of direction. Our society has lost its sense of direction. Our society has chose to follow after its own nonsense. It makes up its own rules and tries to enforce them on all of us. But we have a generation that's lost its ability to hear. The voice you listen to most will determine the future that you live in. Genesis 1:26, let them have complete authority. Let them have complete authority over all the earth. Who's he talking about? Who has complete authority over all the earth? Who? You! He created mankind in his image. He created them to be containers of his very self. He created them to rule and dominate over all the earth. He made a covenant with man. You shall rule. You shall represent. You shall reflect me. You shall reign in the earth. You will. God has given the earth to man. Man has the right to rule in the earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, isn't his will always done? No, it isn't. It's not always done. For God's will to be done on earth, he has to find somebody in an earth suit like you. Do you have an earth suit? Just whack yourself. That's your flesh sack. That's your meat sack. That's an earth suit. That's what lets you stay here on earth. When your meat sack stops working, you leave. But your meat sack is very, very important, because everybody with a meat sack has authority to change the world. That's why Jesus had to get a meat sack just like you, because God could not come on his own and change everything. He had to become like us. He had to become one with us. He had to get a meat sack just like me and just like you. It was impossible for God to change the world without a meat sack. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the one and only. But he became a meat sack so that these meat sacks could become sons of God. So I am not just a meat sack. My meat sack is still incredibly important, but this meat sack shall glorify God. And this meat sack is designed to carry a speaking spirit that calls God's will into manifestation all over the earth. That means your will of God in your marriage, the will of God with your kids, the will of God with your garage door opener. Boom. It's a one-step program. Get it right. There's a lot of noise out there, and some of the noise is some to-do list. I'll give you a to-do list to do things better. I'll give you one list. Get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Follow his voice. Do what he tells you. Every moment. You can do that. You can do that. You can do that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Psalm 115. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Who did he give the earth to? If God got involved in this world without using a meat sack or a man, everything would implode upon itself and blow up, because God challenged his own word. God cannot bypass his own word. Everything would implode. God would stop being God if he violated his will, his intention, and his word. If he spoke it, he honors it. And when he's made a pattern, that pattern must be obeyed and it must be honored. God, from before the foundation of the world, chose that through people like you and me, created in his image, we would be flooded with God himself, and we would change not just this earth, but all of creation, and we would speak the wisdom of God to the cosmos. Hey! Wowzers. God, if we would only get this, we could change the world. There's not plan B. Hey, you got another plan. This is the only plan he's got. It's you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's you. He was going to change creation through you. Yeah. All right, Psalm 8, verse 6. He says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. What is man that you are mindful of him? You made him a little lower than God, a little lower than Elohim. Why? Because he's given man authority to transform this realm. Man has the right to reign and rule in this culture. Amen. Last week, we finished up with hearing the voice of the Spirit. It's innate, something we all have. It's in our DNA. It's learned. You learn to get better at it. It's matured through revelation knowledge. Sometimes you don't know what to speak because you're not seeking revelation. Sometimes you don't know what God's saying because you're not paying attention, but you're fully designed to do it. You're not lacking anything to be this powerful speaking spirit to change the cosmos. It's innate. It's learned. It's matured. It's attacked. The enemy, it says in that same parable, it's all about the voice of God, using his voice, speaking, sowing words, sowing seed into circumstances. The enemy knows it, so he tries to steal the word from you. Some of you, the word will be stolen right as you're walking out the foyer. The bird's ear are going to go. Then you get to the door and I say, what did I preach on today? I don't know, but it was good. It was more than 8.25 seconds long, so... It gets attacked. Satan comes immediately. He comes immediately. The minute you think you got a revelation, the devil is coming immediately to steal from you your identity, to steal from you really being who God destined you to be. It's a lifestyle. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I'm standing at attention. Whatever you got to say, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you want to speak into the earth today, on May 31st, 2026, whatever heaven wants to download, I'm standing at attention. I'm ready to speak on your behalf. How many seconds was that? 8.2. Daniel 9, 2 to 3, I, Daniel, understood from the book of the numbers of the years specified by the word of the Lord. I was reading Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish after 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord and I made my request by prayer and supplication. Daniel is saying, as I was reading the scrolls, I was reading Jeremiah's prophecies. As reading that prophecy, I realized he said that we would be in captivity here for 70 years. I realized the 7 years is up. It's time. And so he had a prophetic revelation. There was a prophetic word about a shift going to take place in 7 years. So what did Daniel do with that word? He began to speak it. He began to declare it. The 70 years is up. I call forth the restoration of Jerusalem. I call forth right now in Jesus' name. Our captivity is over. He began to intercede according to the word. Somebody in every single generation, God has to find somebody who is understanding of the present truth of that day to bring into manifestation God's purposes. God cannot have his will accomplished in the earth without you. And the worse than that is if we don't know that, then God is wild. That's why it says the Spirit is going to and fro throughout the earth trying to find somebody whose heart is towards him. God's looking at you. He's standing every day you wake up saying, do you want to partner with me in the supernatural? Do you want, you just woke up, let me kiss your face. Mwah. Do you want to partner with me in transforming London? Do you want to partner with me in changing the rotten, it's 9% the unemployment rate in the city. Do you want to change that, Carl? Do you want to change that? I sure do. Because they tell you where your kingdom is. You said it would be here on earth as it is in heaven. So I want London to be as it is in heaven, Father. Well, are you happy with 9% unemployment? No, it's a disaster. I'm offended by it. I'm disgusted. I'm a believer in the city and I'm standing watching people unemployed. Lord, it disgusts me. I'm going to get into your word and I'm going to declare your word. On earth as it is in heaven, in London as it is in heaven. I declare the prosperity of God over the city in the name of Jesus. I declare jobs and better jobs. I declare inventions. Things are going to come from all over the world. People are going to say, London, city of God. London is the place to build. London is the place to invent. London is the place to invest. London is saturated with the glory of God as it is in heaven. Lord, let it be in London. Prosperity, peace, strength, health, life in London, Ontario, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We got to get annoyed with that. I'm offended. I pastor in this city, and the city I pastor in has unemployment like that. I am Lord God. I'm offended at myself. This shall not be in the city. Sorry, did I shout there? I'm telling you, folks, you know what? It's a horrible thing to be the person who has all the power to change the world and you're sitting on your hands. That's my fault. Never again. Jeremiah said, 7 years is up. I set myself to pray. Timothy, this charge I commit to you, my son, according to the prophecies that are spoken over you, that by them you would wage a good warfare. This is Paul talking to his son, Timothy. Timothy, there's words from God that have been spoken in your life. There's things that God wants to do in and through you. I heard those words. I know those words. But son, I want them to come into manifestation in your life. And those words, you got to war a warfare with those words. You got to declare those words. That word that came, you got to speak it back. You got to loose it back. You got to declare the word of the Lord over yourself. Do a warfare, war with the very word of God spoken over you. There are words spoken over your life. Everything I have done in ministry, every move we have made in ministry, we have done at the word of the Lord. If I did it at the word of Carl, I would be just a wreck all the time. But the Lord said to do it. And if the Lord said to do it, then he will provide for it. He will bless it and he will bring it to pass. War, a good warfare. It says many, many have fallen away because they didn't grab that word and warfare with that word. Hallelujah. Can I say thank you, Jesus? Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Can I say that? I'll say it. Luke chapter 2, we're going to just wrap it up, but I want you to get this. Is anybody getting any of this? Has this encouraged anybody to say, I'm going to stand at your gate, use me? I'm going to change the world. I'm going to take responsibility for what I see. I'm going to bring your glory into this city, into this place. I'm going to take responsibility for that. Please. Luke 2, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This was when Jesus was going to be born. This was when God was going to send his son into the earth. This was when the word was going to become flesh and dwell among us. God had a word. God had a purpose. God had something he wanted to do in the earth. But for him to bring something into the earth, what does he need? He needs a prophetic womb. He needs a declaration. He needs somebody to know what God wants to do in that day. And he needs somebody who's ready to prophesy the heavenly things into manifestation in this realm. For the incarnation to take place, somebody had to pray it into existence. God couldn't just send his son. A man on earth, a group of people on earth had to give that spiritual room. They had to create that spiritual place. They had to create that bridge from the heavenly realm to bring into manifestation the purpose of God in that day. And Simon was one of those people. Simon, he says he was a man, a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him and it had been revealed to him. Say revealed. He's doing this because it had been revealed to him. See, God wanted to do something, so he revealed it to a community. Anna, the prophetess, Zechariah. There were many who received the revelation of what God wanted to do in his hour. And God couldn't do that. He couldn't even do the incarnation without somebody understanding what God wanted to do on earth that day. I got a revelation. It was revealed to me by the Holy Ghost that I would not see death before I had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to him, for according to the customs of the law, he took the child in his arms and he blessed God. He said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for I have seen your salvation. What is he saying? Simeon, whose name means hearkening and able to hear. He's saying that, Lord, you told me you wanted to do something. I partnered with you in that purpose. I began to intercede and declare that the consolation of Israel is coming. The Messiah is coming. I declare today is the manifestation of God's purpose in the earth. I intercede for that. I call it out. And he was doing that. And he was praying for it. He was interceding for it. And then one day, he was going into the temple. He was getting to work. He was getting busy with the things of God. And then all of a sudden, right there, the Lord said, there he is. And he walked over and he said, wow, everything the Lord told me, everything I've been interceding for, here it is. And he took the baby in his arms and look what he said. He said, I have seen your salvation. What did he see? He saw a baby. I have seen your salvation. It's done. It's a done deal. The world is going to be transformed. Everything's going to change. One man and a group of people got God's word and began to speak it in that day. Real quick, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of things, a couple of handles for what I want you to do. Basic hearing skills. Number one, position yourself. Position yourself. This was a just and a devout man. What does that mean? It means he was a student of God's word. He was somebody who was rich in God's word. He was somebody who was listening and hearing and understood what was revealed in the word. And he understood the time is now for the fulfillment of that revelation. Position yourself with the word. Position yourself with the heart of God. Position yourself to know what God is doing right now. Say, Lord, what you want to do in my hour, in my day, use me to call it into expression. I am ready. I am positioning myself today. Today, I'm going to position myself, Father, to do what you've called me to do and call into manifestation what you desire. Next thing, it's a relational thing. It's not an informational thing. It's a relational thing, although there's information attached to it. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Hearing God is relational before it's prophetic. It's having a relationship with God. It's knowing what's on his heart. It's being so connected with him. You don't know where he begins and you end. You end and he begins. You're in a living, bound up union, one spirit with Christ. It's relational before it's prophetic. It's not merely guidelines, but it's guidance, but it's communion. Simeon was not using a technique. He was living in fellowship with the Spirit of God. You don't need a new technique. You don't need five tools. You need a relationship. You need to live in union with the Godhead, walking in relationship with him. Someone speaking to you, the divine third person, the Godhead, guiding and directing you every moment of your life. Is anyone still here? You need to be focused. It says waiting. Say waiting. I pray that you spend time waiting. It's a solitude is a discipline that is so hard in this culture. It's so busy. It's so loud. There's so much noise. There was a lot of noise in Simeon's day, but amid the noise, Simeon still heard the voice of God. And you need to take time to wait on God. Take time to say, what are you saying? And you'd be surprised what the Lord says to you. And I encourage you, when you find that time, take a journal with you. Take a pen and a piece of paper and say, Lord, I'm ready. Speak to me, Lord. And just literally meditate on him, ponder him, and it's amazing what you'll begin to write down. You'll begin to write things, write a book full of things that God wants you to partner with. You became entrenched with him. You become tuned to his purpose. G. Morgan Campbell, he said, waiting on God is not laziness. Waiting on God is not going to sleep, although I've done that once or twice. Well, we had a good time. Lord, thank you very much. Waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Waiting on God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. You know, sometimes thus saith the Lord, stop it. Sometimes it's thus saith the Lord, shut up. Sometimes it's thus saith the Lord, sit down and do nothing for a minute. And don't move until I speak to you. That's the hardest thing ever, isn't it? You ever just sit and be quiet? That is so hard. I mean, just do that. Do that this week. Find a chair, find a comfortable place, sit down, say, Lord, I want to spend some time with you. You'd be amazed how much time you can spend with God. You might stop and go, oh my goodness, I just spent 45 minutes waiting on the Lord. And it'll bless your life. It'll change your life forever. True story. All right, reliable. You got to be reliable. He came by the Spirit. The Spirit directed him. Spirit was upon him, but then by the Spirit directed him at the right time, at the right place. Boom. Learn to move consistently with the Spirit. Reliability means tested discernment. The mature believer develops spiritual sensitivity through repeated obedience. Repeat. How do you know God's speaking to you? Because I've had him speak to me before, and I've been obedient to what he told me to do. I've attuned myself to his voice. It's not, what was that? You get attuned to his voice. Number five, finishers. Say finishers. We want finishers. He took up in his arms. He stayed with it until he saw the consolation of Israel. Simeon did not merely receive revelation. He responded to it fully. Simeon embraced what the God of heaven had revealed. Amen. There was five little, not steps, but five little things that you can build in your life, because there are two types of people. There's the hearers and the hear-nots. And your quality of hearing is manifest in your life. Because it goes as you hear. As you hear, so go you. God is speaking. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to us. He's got things he wants to do in this area of southwestern Ontario. And he wants to use you. And he wants to use me. So before we can say, thus saith the Lord, we've got to be highly tuned to what the Lord is saying today. So I'm saying this because you can hear. It's innately there. It's already there. You don't have to jump through hoops. You just go, wow, speak to me, Father. Just like little Samuel did. He started hearing the voice of God, didn't know what it was. Then the prophet said, wow, that could be God. And he said, Almighty, speak, your servant is listening. Do that. Practice that. Practice that. Couple last statements. You ready? The greatest qualification for the next season may not be talent, knowledge, or influence, but the ability to hear. The ability to hear. The ability to hear. Your ability to hear will determine the quality of your life. It'll determine whether we're going to bring transformation to the city or not. It'll determine whether the thus saith the Lord that we speak is actually accurate and can bear fruit. God governs his kingdom through revelation knowledge. That's what Peter got a God thought, and Jesus just about had a fit. He went, whoa, on this I will build my church. And it's revelation from the throne of God. Heaven's agenda reaches earth through hearers who are speakers. Don't be a speaker unless you're a hearer. The whole upper room, the whole thing about the upper room was the first command of God was not go into all the world. The first command of God was wait until you're endued with power from on high. Wait until you're whacked in the Holy Ghost. Wait until your mind, his heart, and he becomes one with you. Wait until you are a full container of the Godhead. Then step out, but not until. Wait.